Accession number 28645, reel 8.
So, I got very ill. My mother came over. The doctor bottled a brand essence, with which he dosed me. How did you get brand essence?
I don't know. I'm not certain.
It was a wonderful thing. Excellent. Anyhow, she bought a pack of those across, fed me with it, and then took me off to Sicily. Spring and Sicily. Oh, it was so lovely. Oh, the berries were so lovely. We stayed in. And then the hotel. It will come back to me. It's the biggest hotel in Palermo. And the bedroom floors and the bathroom floors are all marble. Was excellent. Sicily in those days was ruled by the mafia. It was an interesting piece. The journalist who did the whole of the campaign in Italy. What was his name?
You're thinking of Alan Wicker?
That's right. Alan Wicker lives. He did a whole set of programs which I watched. Apparently it was due to the Americans. They did one or two very naughty things.
Well, Mussolini got rid of the mafia simply by shooting them. Sent the army in to shoot them.
Mussolini managed to get rid of them.
And then the Americans
let them back in.
Because they were anti-German and would help with the campaign.
No, it was just
usual American idiocy.
Was it? Right. Okay.
For instance, the Americans, we were getting on to a certain extent in the desert. Things were not good, we lost the brook and we were right back on the borders. And the Americans waltzed in with their airport, where they were going to do the whole thing. And so they sent the British planes out one night
to do a low-level bombing attack on Tobruk. Blow me down,
they heard whistle, whistle, whistle going past, and they looked up, and there were the Americans at 20,000 feet, bombing our planes at 500 feet.
Because our planes were doing a low-level attack, and the Americans were doing what they called a low-level attack,
which was bombing our planes.
Well, we'll come to that, shall we?
Yes, we'll come to that.
You're in Sicily in Palermo. Marble bath.
There were meadows and meadows of scarlet Adonis. And all the olive groves were full of anemones, the kind of anemone I've never seen anywhere else. And there were blue, wild lupins growing all along the borders. It was an absolute dream. It was so lovely.
And then all the wonderful convents and buildings and churches and Greek temples and goodness knows what. And oh yes, and then there was my lieutenant of the Carabinieri.
Tell me about him.
Well, he was staying in the same hotel.
He was in charge of
a certain number of troops there. We never saw the troops.
And he drove a scarlet Alfa Romeo.
It must have been an Alfa. That's right, there is an Alfa Romeo, isn't there? Or there was.
Yes, that's right. It was a score of one. A coupe. Anyhow,
he eyed me across the dining tables and he became a faithful attendant. He took us all over the island in his car. It was great fun. He gave me scent and all that sort of thing. And it was an absolutely fascinating island. There was one gorgeous Greek temple. And then there was one little cove, which was famous. And everybody used to collect there at a certain time when the little fishing boats were coming in. They fished for urchins. And you ate the urchins like people eat lot of...
There'd always be a select band of people waiting for the little birds to come in. The only place I've known where you eat urchins before.
Before you go to Naples,
I don't know whether we changed much or whether there was an express right through. I can't remember.
There would have been an express to Rome for sure.
I think we probably went to Paris, changed to Paris, then to Rome, then to Naples. And, in Sicily, boat. And I think that must have been the time. Later on, we went. Nobility in the Vatican. And this man was on the plane. And he got us a ticket to the Congress in case for these services.
Yes. One that got into such trouble over his failure to look after the Jews. That was the wartime one, was it? What was the wartime one's title? It was passed when you were there?
Yes.
Okay. What are you trying to think of?
In those days... Yes, in those days, which it covered the German period and the Italian period, it covered all our travelling in those days, Germany had what they called Reisemarks, and Italy had the same... And there was also a system for Italy where you could buy vouchers for hotels in various categories before you left England, and they came very cheap. Germany, the exchange, the proper exchange was, I think, 17 or 18 marks to the pound, but the Reisemarks, they were 21, 22, and you could get those as long as you got them before you left the country. And it was to encourage people because nobody was travelling. And in Italy, you could get these hotel certificates in any category. So you could get category X, which was the highest one, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 going down in quality. So my mother bought a whole bunch of these things before she left England, and mostly we went into A's or B's. But every now and again we treat ourselves to an X. And in Rome we treated ourselves to an X. And oh, what was the hotel called? The oh, it began with an E. The oh, never mind. It had an underground tunnel to the opera, and you could go straight from the hotel to the opera. And we heard Tito Skipa sing. That man had the voice of an angel. Absolutely incredible. You never hear any recordings of him nowadays. And we heard G. Lee. He was famous at the time. Yes, we saw Aida. Later on, we saw Aida in the open square in Florence with real elephants. Oh dear. So we stayed in Rome for Easter, and we went to the opera, and that was lovely. And we looked at the museums and drank deep of everything there was to drink.
So you could not have been in Palermo very long.
No, that's what absolutely startles me. It seems to me in my memory as if we were there for months. But we weren't there for months.
You couldn't have been, because if you were in Berlin for Hitler's birthday, April the 20th...
I know, it doesn't fit. Yeah. That's why I think it's a good thing to leave dates out.
Okay.
Because nothing fits. We seem to have done too much. I can't think how we got it in. It doesn't fit. I know I was there for Hitler's birthday. That is the 20th of April. Well, Easter must have been terribly late that year.
Yes, the middle of May. Perhaps it was the Orthodox Easter you're thinking of.
No, it wasn't. It was in Rome. And I don't know how it happened or what happened, I don't know, but I just can't fit things into the dates. Unless we skipped a year. There's something wrong somewhere. It may come to me when I look through the old papers.
Okay. But, well, let's carry on with where we are, because in theory, we're in Rome in 1936. It is where we are in theory, but we could be 1937.
We could be 1937.
What we do know is that later in 1937,
we went from Rome to Florence. We stayed a while in Florence. And yes, we stayed a while in Florence. I have to try and separate before the war and after the war, because it's sort of a mirror plan, really. So we did Florence, then we went up to... Now, we did the White Horse Inn on the way to Munich, didn't we?
Yes.
So we were fixed in Florence, and from Florence we went to Verona, because we did the tombs of Juliet and Romeo. And then we went to Venice. And from Venice... Where the devil are we? 37?
I think we must be, actually. Don't forget, you...
Como.
You go to Egypt later in 37.
Yes, quite. Como. My mother, I think, went off to Norway with my father. I was left on my own, and I went to Como. Oh, I went with my mother, that's right, and she left off. That's right, from France we went to the lakes. And we stayed in the famous Villa d'Este. That was when we used one of our ex ones. Oh, it was... Oh, dear. The romance you could cut with a knife. It was terrific. Warm. You left your bedroom window open at night and your room was full of fireflies dancing. You went to sleep with dancing fireflies and nightingales singing at the tops of their voices outside in the cypresses. It was magic, absolute magic. And there was a military station nearby who flew little seaplanes. They had double wings in those days. I don't know what they were called. And they used to fly from this place, wherever it was near Como. And sometimes they'd come out over the lake and practice landing and that sort of, well, watering. And two of these people, there was a lieutenant and a sub-lieutenant, used to come to the Villa d'Este for the dancing evenings. They always had a dance orchestra every evening in the bar. And there was an English girl staying there with her mother. So she paired off with the lieutenant, who was a count, incidentally. And I got this sub-lieutenant, who was a very nice-looking young man. And he was an angel. He was very sweet. He wasn't very Italian. Because the Italians are very pragmatic about sex. And he wasn't. He was idealistic. And he was a dear good soul, Bruno. Anyhow, she got engaged to this count. Presumably she had money and he had the title, I don't know. I often wonder what happened to her, because of course the war was on its way. It's because she married him. Anyway, so there I was. So my mother then went off to Norway with my father. I think that was where she went. And I was left in Como with my Bruno, and I moved to another hotel because the ex certificates had run out. and I learned to drive in Como. My father said, we had the plans that I was going to keep house for him in Egypt. He said, you'll have to learn to drive. So I was given a driving master, and I learnt in Como, and nobody ever learnt to drive in a more difficult place. The village just had dirt tracks. There were no macadam roads. They were full of ruts, full of children dashing out and across the road, hens, various farm animals. It was a hazardous business. Learning to drive. So that was where I learned to drive. Meanwhile, Bruno was in tow. Then I decided to go off down to...
So if I may interrupt, your mother was quite happy to leave you with Bruno while she went to Norway.
Yes, we did keep sort of separating every now and again and doing something different. I went halfway down the lake to Bellagio, to learn, and I had an Italian lady to teach me Italian, and I painted. Meanwhile, that rather separated me from Bruno, so I used to take a rowing boat from Bellagio, and he used to bring his plane over. And he would land the plane in the lake, and I would row up to the plane. And that was how we met for quite a while. It was very romantic. Rowing out and watching the little plane arrive.